Welcome. This is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com.
And I'm James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com, and we welcome you back to another important episode of The New World Next Week. Everything you need is at NewWorldNextWeek.com. James, you and I think we've sort of decided to continue last week's sort of flipping of the regular format of New World Next Week and focus on a particular area. So I think what we've tried to do is put stories together in sort of the classic New World Next Week three-story format. However, all focusing on the catastrophic situation we're looking down the barrel of in Syria. So as I come to you here in the West, it is early, early Thursday morning, August 29th, and of course things changing rapidly. Thankfully, hopefully, Western powers face widespread skepticism over military strike on Syria. As Western powers build their case for possible military strikes in Syria, a still-forming coalition confronted a chorus of resistance at home, throwing up possible delays for what initially seemed like a rapid timetable for action. James, there's a Reuters Ipsos poll that shows only 9% of Americans favor Syria intervention as Obama considers his military options. He ran around giving interviews today saying, "I haven't made up my mind." This was while he was putting on the guise of being a connection to Martin Luther King. On the 50th anniversary of the I Have a Dream speech, Obama's acting like he is a peace lover while he is waging another war of aggression. James, fortunately, like I said, hopefully this support, they seem to say, "Oh, we're going to go for it Thursday. It's going to be quick and it's going to be done." Parliament in the UK have essentially stymied Cameron. I'm hoping our own Congress here will stymie Obama. And of course, people need, for what it's worth, to, you know, to sort of make those phone calls and call your Congress critters, call the White House and tell them we do not want this. I find it fascinating and scary, James, in that over the weekend and essentially as the Syria story was building, I think a bombshell exclusive report from foreignpolicy.com. CIA files prove America helped Saddam as he gassed Iran. So, yes, what we were saying is the very same moment that our current administration is making the case about a chemical attack, files come out proving what generally we've already known, but now it comes out even harder, that, yes, during the Reagan administration, we knew exactly what was going on into Bush senior administration and helping and letting and goading on Saddam to gas people. And he was our buddy, so we let him do it. James, I find that a fascinating parallel. Maybe on some esoteric level, it's a sort of revelation of the method, James.
Well, of course, this is precisely the reason why there's this widespread skepticism that the Western powers are facing in making their case for war. I mean, anyone who could look at this in a post-Iraq world and think that there is no reason to be skeptical of what we're hearing here needs to have their head examined. So I think from my own experience, what I've been seeing online, I have not found a story posted anywhere on the web yet where the comment section, even on the MSM Dinosaur Media websites, has not been overwhelmingly skeptical of this story and calling it out for the BS that it is. And I don't know if you've had that same experience, James.
I have. You know, I was going to mention this at the very end. I've been able to write, this is the second week in a row, write some original pieces connected to my day job at Ground Zero that are actually being published on KXL News, the news radio station that my show is on. So the story around the Saddam chemical weapons and the Syria present got posted on what is essentially a mainline, somewhat conservative news station. It has the Lars Larson show, nationally syndicated. And the comments there are all pretty much right down the line. This is ridiculous. This is another war of aggression. It's for this. It's for that. No one's saying, yeah, we should do this.
Well, that's definitely a sign of something. That is heartwarming. No, it's heartening to see, because obviously it does mean that the public truly is waking up to this. And I've seen, again, a lot of people calling this out for a false flag attack and realizing that the rebels had a lot more to gain by this type of attack than Assad did. So there's at least a growing awareness of this, which is the bright side of it. The other flip side of this is, well, then what can be done? We've seen some limited protests taking place in the UK, for example. But then again, we saw the largest global worldwide protests in the history of the planet in advance of the Iraq War, and it did nothing. It stopped nothing. It didn't budge their invasion plans one inch. So I think we are also in a post-protest paradigm where what is the point of going out on the streets if nothing's going to happen? So I think that we've got this incredible wave of skepticism, this incredible momentum and energy that we haven't had in previous wars, and yet we don't have any outlet for that. And so that's the question of how we can budge things. And perhaps the most ironic thing is that it's not even something that's in the control of the people or in any way giving a hat tip to what the people are thinking or experiencing, but this entire operation might be postponed a week or two for no other reason than because the G20 is coming up next week in Russia, and it would be extremely diplomatically tense for the US and others to start going ahead with military intervention in Syria during a G20 summit in Moscow. So there's definitely some geopolitics taking place here that might prevent this strike at least for another week or two. We'll have to see how it unfolds. Who knows, by the time this comes out, perhaps it'll already be dated. So that's what we're working with right now. But at any rate, the people are waking up to this, and I guess that's the positive side of this.
James, as we segue into our second set of stories, again, relating to the situation in Syria, I think what you were saying is interesting. If you want to speak out about this, it falls on deaf ears. However, if you want to weigh in on Miley Cyrus and the MTV Awards, well, gosh, the world is yours. So, James, our transition, if you will, goes back to a story from January of this year. Hacked emails reveal Washington-approved plan to stage Syria chemical attack. And again, like everything, that link will be there for you. I know, James, we had to say this on Ground Zero the other night as we were talking about the files showing the U.S. tacitly let Saddam gas his people. It almost sounds ridiculous to a mainstream audience hearing that. They're going to say, you're crazy. You're making it up. So like everything we report on New World next week, we give you the links. Go check the story out for yourself. So mentioning hacked emails, James, leads into our second bit of news. As the dreaded Syrian Electronic Army attack suspected on the New York Times and even Twitter. The Syrian Electronic Army has claimed access to a number of Twitter's international domains shortly after bringing down the New York Times website. And the attack was apparently made through a Melbourne internet tech. The SEA, that's the Syrian Electronic Army, managed to alter both contact details and domain name servers of the New York Times and Twitter after reportedly having gained access to their registry records in Melbourne. The SEA also claimed responsibility for attacking the Huffington Post UK. As a result of the attack, the New York Times website was disabled for the second time in just under a month. The newspaper attributed the outage to a malicious external attack widely thought to have come from hackers affiliated with the Syrian Electronic Army. Now, James, I do have one piece from extremetech.com called How the Syrian Electronic Army Hacked the New York Times and Twitter, perhaps to be taken with a grain of salt and used only perhaps just to, if some of the tech things sort of need explanation. This may not be how it went down, but it would give you the overview of how certain hack attacks can actually take place. And some of the latest on VentureBeat.com, Syrian Electronic Army says revealed hacker identities are fake. Yes, James, the names allegedly were put out. Now those allegedly in the alleged Syrian Electronic Army have said those alleged names are fake. James.
Yeah, I think we need a little more than a grain of salt here. I think we need a truckload. I trust this story as far as I can throw it, which is not at all. It's absolutely just 100%. It could be completely and utterly made up. And if some historian of the future uncovered some documents showing that the New York Times had staged this in order to blame it on a Syrian Electronic Army, my shock level would be 0%. I mean, again, this is the age of cyber false flag terrorism. This is what we've talked about. If you have an enemy, you want to demonize them, just deface your own website and blame it on them, or whatever. I mean, this could be a billion different things, and I have absolutely zero reason. At least with the chemical weapons attack, you could actually point to people who died and people, you know, that sort of thing. But with this virtual false flag terrorism, there's literally nothing. All we're doing is relying on their say-so, basically. So I don't trust this at all, and I don't think other people should. And again, looking at the poll figures and the like, it doesn't seem that most people are really concerned about this new electronic army that's prowling the interwebs.
James, as Brock West and I were doing research before this episode, we kind of found ourselves looking around for kind of more information about the Syrian Electronic Army. We kind of joked, we're like, I'm looking for an angle from our side, we kind of laughed about. What, if any, is the sort of alternative media take on what the Syrian Electronic Army may be? I'm not sure if you have any take or knowledge on that.
I haven't seen that at all. I've never seen any reference to this organization ever before. So again, its sudden appearance on the scene is, again, highly circumspect.
So, James, you said your shock level would be zero if and when this would be admitted. So, I mean, last week we reported that they've admitted Operation Ajax. They've admitted, you know, that we helped overthrow Mossadegh in Iran in 53. Now we've just told you they've admitted we helped Saddam gas Iran. So the chances are 10 years, 20 years down the road, they will admit that, oh yeah, we actually false flagged that Syrian gas attacker. Oh yeah, those were the U.S. cybercom. We were just posing as the Syrian Electronic Army. We just needed to do that because for our operational needs. So yeah, none of it would really be a surprise, would it, James?
Not at all. And there's one country on the planet, well, two, working in conjunction, that we know have committed military-style cyber attacks, and that's U.S. working with Israel to create Stuxnet to attack Iran. So that's admitted on the record and admitted by Cybercom and Israel with a nudge and a wink. So again, I look at the most well-funded cyber army in the world when I see these types of attacks rather than the Syrian Electronic Army.
Mm-hmm. James, in our third and final set of stories, and again, sort of keeping perhaps with a classic New World Next Week setup where we kind of have a geopolitical first, maybe a technology second, we're going to end with a food, environment, health story, again, still staying on the Syrian situation. This from Reuters from just a few hours ago. Syrians in capital hoard food and seek shelter as strike looms. Syrians in the capital of Damascus are racing against time to prepare for a foreign strike, with many hoarding supplies and others scrambling to find accommodation further away from potential military targets. In a city where dozens of military sites are mixed in among the civilian population, many worry Damascus could become an especially dangerous place should a Western-led strike come in response to the apparent use of chemical weapons last week that killed hundreds in the suburbs. At grocery stores, shoppers loaded up on bread, dried goods, and canned foods, fearing they may face shortages if a strike hits the city. The items most in demand were batteries and water. "I'm starting to see the fear in people's eyes," said one resident. "People have been in the habit of stocking extra food since this conflict began, but now people are buying huge amounts of food and water." Around Damascus, many banks were crowded with people and dozens queued at cash machines, James. So, again, it comes down to the horrible loss of collateral damage, because I believe I even saw that Barry said, oh, well, we're only looking at hitting military targets. And what do we see here? Those military targets are mixed in among the population. So there will be collateral damage, and it's never acceptable, James.
No, there will not be collateral damage. There will be human beings killed as a result of war crimes. And we have to use the precise terminology here, because if we don't, then we're going to cave into their ideological control over our minds. And I'm old enough now to have lived through a few of these types of situations where the buildup to war has been telegraphed in advance and we all know what's coming. And I remember vividly back a decade ago when they were building up to war in Iraq, and they would feature on the news, they would feature reports from Baghdad showing the people who were about to get the bombs rained down on them and going about their daily lives that were about to be disrupted. So so horribly, and it's a very affecting and very very disturbing thing to be watching that. But this is the first time that this has happened while I myself have been a father, and I'm sitting there at night looking at my son and looking into his eyes and thinking there's a father on the other side of the world that's doing that right now with a baby who's about to be blown apart by these bombs, and it is just absolutely horrific for me to think about that. And anything and everything that we can possibly do to try to prevent that, to try to avert that, is something that I think is incumbent on all of us. And unfortunately, it's looking more and more like the real linchpin of all of this, because we've moved so far down the road, is going to be the military themselves standing up and refusing to obey orders that will be tantamount to war crimes. But I'm not sure if we have enough military on our side to be able to do that yet. But we are making progress, as I say, with people understanding just how completely manipulated this situation is. And hopefully that will start transferring and transforming into actual refusal to carry out these orders at some point. Until then, my heart goes out to the people in Syria right now who are preparing for, in the midst of this civil war from foreign-funded terrorists, where people are being massacred on a daily basis, they're now preparing for a new form of massacre that's going to be rained down on them by the bombs that are funded by American taxpayer money. So this is all just part of the sick world we're living in, and hopefully we can all do something to change this before it becomes the nightmare that we don't want to live in.
Mm-hmm. So I think, James, in closing, we'd just have to implore folks to please share this episode. Even if you don't share the video, go down and copy those links and spread those to people. I imagine if you kind of gave these stories to maybe to your mom or your uncle and showed them that, yeah, files show that the U.S. helped Saddam gas Iran, could hopefully plant lots of seeds of doubt in their mind. James, I'm glad you've called me out on the euphemistic language there. Yeah, because I fall victim to it myself sometimes. You remind me also 10 years ago, I definitely remember me and my good friends and bandmates, we were going to see a band called Sigur Rós in D.C., and we knew going into the concert that when we came out that we were going to be at war, and sure enough, we were. So again, I'll ask folks out there to please spread the word about these episodes, and please spread the word about the news and the information that we're trying to share for you here each and every week on The New World Next Week.
All right, let's leave it there. James, thank you again for your time.
Thank you, sir. Take care.